2 Corinthians chapter 9. One verse today. One verse. In fact, you probably could memorize it this morning. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. We're going to be taking a look at that in a couple of weeks. We're going to dig into that text, and we're really going to see what the Lord has to say about that. Can I say this morning? You can't outgive God. That's not. I'm not preaching today on tithing. I'm not preaching on anything except that. That's a fact. You cannot outgive God. And in fact, His Word is full of references to go ahead and try. Go ahead and try to outgive God and see what He won't do. Obviously I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about time, talents, and energies. So we'll be looking at that. But keep in mind the text this morning. You got that? You memorized it? Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Father, we just thank You as we go, and we just take a moment to look at Your Word. We rejoice in what You're doing this morning and hearts and lives. And during our prayer time, I realize that there's a purpose. You had Mike to pray. It was ordained of God this morning. I believe that with all my heart. As we look at the goodness of God, as we just take a moment to really just say thanks be to God for Your indescribable gift that You provide for each and every one of us. And Lord God, that we would accept the gift, and that we would take it deep into our hearts. And Lord God, that You would continue to do a works in our lives and in our families and in this church family. That You would get honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I say Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas.
Notice I did not say Happy Holidays. I love all of the stories that I seem to be hearing this year about people that as soon as someone says Happy Holidays, they say Merry Christmas. And then you usually find out that after you say Merry Christmas, they're able to respond back to you with Merry Christmas, but they can't initiate it. So this morning, I definitely, sitting in the house of God, sitting on Christmas morning, I can definitely, without any fear, say to you this morning, Merry Christmas. I think sometimes the Happy Holidays kind of puts us into a position that we want to put Jesus in the category of Santa Claus. Because it's not a holiday without Jesus. And you can't put those two together. So I believe if we don't respond back with Merry Christmas, that we're really putting the same category of Santa Claus and Jesus together. I think we're putting great grandma's old fruitcake that nobody really wants anymore together, because you know fruitcakes are kind of a thing of the past. And for those people that usually just take the holidays and they wash them down with some kind of a toxic beverage, and they feel like that's what they need. So I say Merry Christmas, celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. And that's what makes it a holiday. That's what makes it special. In His day of remembrance, I was blessed last night. We had a tremendous Christmas Eve service, and people began to share some of the things that were going on, and we heard some great things. But I think Marquise's niece took the prize last night. As Marquise comes up to me, he says, my niece wanted to say something to you last night. And I went over to her and I said, honey, what did you want to say? I wanted to say that tomorrow was Jesus' birthday.
Amen.
And that is absolutely the truth. Amen. And, you know, those that were sitting around us there just gave her the high five signal that's exactly right. That is. It's Jesus' birthday, and we can spend a whole lot of time trying to choose the right gift. We can spend all the right moments trying to put it all in perspective, giving it at the right time. And without Jesus, it's going to fall a little bit short. I have to laugh this year, and maybe my wife wouldn't want me to say this, but I'm going to say it anyways. I have to laugh because this is, she's used to me, this is the first year in a long time, probably since our kids were growing up, that we didn't exchange gifts. We had some work done at the house. So after the contractors got done putting up our gutters, we said Merry Christmas to each other. And it's a little bizarre. So it just goes to show you that a gift doesn't have to be wrapped pretty. It's just got to be given out of love and appreciation. It does break all the rules. And guys, I would say make sure you're praying about it first, because it does break all the rules that you should give a gift that's personal. You know, sometimes toasters don't go over real well. A new spatula may not go over well. So I'm not saying that this would work for everybody, but after much prayer, it works for Becky and I. So what I am saying is that to make it a good gift, make sure both are in agreement that it's going to be a good gift. Okay, moving right along. If you look last night, we talked a little bit about the Magi and how the Magi followed the star to Bethlehem, and Scripture tells us that they bowed down and they worshiped the Christ child. They gave Christ the very best that they had. We went in and we talked a little bit about that. We believe that there was more than three of them. That most people think there's three because of the three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh that was given. But here's where I want to go with this. That gift that was given was the best that they had. Doesn't have to be an expensive gift. What you give back to God has to be the best that you're able to. God doesn't put a price tag on the gift back. God looks at the heart. God looks at the attitude. God knows the resources that you have. God knows what He's given you, and He knows what He wants to entrust more to you if you will use that generosity sowing technique. And like I said, we're going to look at that. But God is looking to see where your hearts are. And the shepherds, according to the scriptures, they were doing their thing. They were in the field being good shepherds. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them and said that, hey, there's something going on that you might want to see. There's a Savior being born, and you can find Him over in this manger. And then it goes on. The scripture says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests. And the scripture that kind of has been the thread through our whole looking into that series that I said, holding on to Christmas, is the verse that goes, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So I hope, if nothing else, in all the services that we've had together, and we looked at the scriptures, and we looked at what was God, what God was doing, is that you just grab onto that. Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's go see what God is doing and what He's told us about. And when the shepherds found Jesus, they began to praise and worship. I think today's service was very special in the praise and worship, the specials that were done and different things. The greatest gift is Jesus Christ. Can you have a Christmas service without making that statement? Jesus Christ is the greatest gift that mankind has ever given. It is the greatest gift that you will ever be given. No matter if you're rich or poor, no matter what color you are, where you live, what side of the tracks you are, so to speak, what culture you're living in, and it doesn't matter what any other gift that you may open today or have opened last night. It doesn't matter. The greatest gift that you will ever get is Jesus Christ, and the opportunity to have Him be your Lord and Savior. Again, I say the text, and we're going to memorize that. I hope I drill that into your head this morning, is thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Now, can I even say to you this morning, can I encourage you? Say that this morning as a prayer back to God. Because I'm sitting there when Mike was praying today, and in my mind I'm thinking, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift because, as Mike laid out the Christmas story, Paul in this text is writing to the Corinthian church, and let's be honest, he's talking about human gifts in the beginning. He goes on, if you read that whole text, he would be talking about human gifts and how the church was gathering money for the poor, how they were being faithful and doing the things that God called them to do. He goes on to that portion of Scripture. He says, "He that sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he that sows bountifully shall reap bountifully." Now that may not sound like a Christmas message, but it is, because what he does in the middle of all of that, and as he's talking about human gifts, and he's talking about how we respond and taking them gifts, then he shifts it and he goes on to say the gift that God gives us, and then goes into to Jesus Christ. And the problem with most of us is we like gifts, and in the spiritual sense we have a hard time giving back to God, because we have a mentality that says gifts should come our way and not flow back out as readily as it should. Then I love this, because he goes into these words of, I don't even know how to say that. They're words of being indescribable. He goes on to say that the words aren't even available. He says, thanks. If you read it in the Message version or the New King James version, it's gonna say thanks for the unspeakable gifts. Thanks for the things that I can't even put words to. You know, and what makes a gift special? Stop and think about it. What makes it, for me, it's not the cost. You know, I don't grab the gift and then try to figure out how much it cost. What I'm looking at is was it given in love? Did it take some time and energy to get it right? Maybe that person even made it for you. Maybe you know that just that giving that gift was a sacrifice, and that's what makes it special. That's what puts love. It's got love written all over it. Joan London, actress, some of you that are definitely over 35 would maybe recognize her name. One time she featured on TV. She said, and the way it was worded was, "Here are the indescribable gifts." And she went on to say that a Jaguar 220 at a price tag of $587 was one of those indescribable gifts. Then she went on to say that there was a $300,000 gold toilet seat. Then she went on to say that, well, for those that have everything, maybe this $18,000 Frisbee is what would be the indescribable gift. Or a diamond-studded yo-yo valued at $10,000. Or a $27,000 pair of sunglasses. And for those of you that have young kids and you don't know what to do with your money, can you even put that together? Yeah, what money? For those of you that just have so much that you don't know what to do with, maybe you'd be interested in buying a $28,000 pacifier. No. See, these gifts stagger my mind. And judging by the response and looking out at you guys, I see the same thing. That it staggers your mind because you can't comprehend spending that much money on things like that. And the $587,000 Jaguar 220, well, that's just way out of the ballpark to begin with. So none of these gifts in my mind, and probably in your mind either, none of these gifts say thanks be to God, do they? None of them say thanks be to God. All of those gifts say thanks be to me. Thanks be to what I can buy. Thanks be to whose family that I'm in. None of those gifts would say thanks be to God. See, the ruler of the universe came out of this portals of heaven to come to this earth, and he ends up in a smelly barn. He ends up not as royalty, but you know, as a child in a manger, not with any fanfare, but comes as a redeemer of mankind.
and suffered great loss for each and every one of us so that God could fulfill in us what He desires. And that's hard for me to put into words. When you try to describe that, how would you describe Jesus? Sometimes when you're excited about what the Lord's doing, or sometimes when people say, "Hey, how's your church doing?" I just begin to shake. And I begin, God is doing such amazing things. And then I find myself using the word amazing all the time, and they're going, "Wow, you probably need to get a different word." But in reality, I don't know what else to say, because just amazing seems to fall short sometimes. And cool's not spiritual enough. You know what I'm saying? To me, that's what makes it mind-boggling. Because when you realize what God's really doing, no words are really going to fit what's going on. You're just in this lack of words. You know, and then I stop and I stop to think that when somebody asks me, "Well, how can a baby be born of a virgin?" Best I got is supernatural. You know, I've been told the birds and the bees, and the best I got is supernatural. How do you describe God in the flesh? How do you describe that which is spirit in words that we can comprehend? And then I ask you this question, because I've asked myself this question, and do you understand all of that? Me either. But I know God is in the center of it. And any words that you use is man's attempt to describe the supernatural. And there's a reason that it's called supernatural. And there's a reason that our vocabulary is limited. And sometimes cool has to be good. Good enough, you know, because it's the only way you can describe it. The gift that God offers sometimes is just right there. It's just right there. It's right in front of you, but so often we see it and we don't give it much thought because it's out there in front of us. And my question to you this morning is, how many times has God tried to speak to you? How many times has God tried to go from ordinary to superordinary, to extraordinary, to far outside the box? Ever heard that before? Outside of the box. The scripture tells us we proclaim, the shepherds and the apostles and the disciples and everyone, they're basically coming together in 1 John and saying this: "We proclaim to you that what we have seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us." And then he goes on to say, "And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." You know, here, this is kind of weird. And I've been weird, and you know, I've been accused of being weird, so it's okay. I'm all right with that. Aren't these cute? These were donated by someone in our church. You know what the best gifts are? Indescribable and spontaneous. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. That's the best. That happens when we give a gift indescribable, trying to be spontaneous, trying to show people how much that we care. Now you're not getting this one. This is my grandson's. He will be receiving this a little later and would be upset if I give it away. But if you notice, you look at a gift. How many like gifts? and the rest of you are lying. But here's what I'm going to close. That you have to take advantage of if you're going to get a gift. Number one is this, that you got to believe that this gift is yours. See, I could hold that in front of you. And until you accept it, until you recognize that your name's on that gift, you're probably not going to reach out for it. Or if you reach out for it and it's not yours, you're not going to get it. But the first thing is that you got to look and believe that that gift is yours. And then I look at Scripture and it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Me shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life." That's the gift God gives. He's holding it out there and it has our name on it. And we've got to believe that it's ours. And then the second thing that we have to do is accept the gift. We've got to accept the gift that if we confess with our mouths that Jesus Christ is the Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. You accept the gift. It's out there. It's got our name on it. He presents it to us. We've got to accept that gift. And the third thing is that if you, what good gift if you don't open the gift? It can be beautiful on the outside, but you got to open the gift. For once we were in darkness, but now we're in the light. Once you open up that gift, once you realize that it's for you, and you open up, then God begins to do these amazing things. And the fourth thing is you got to embrace the gift. I love this. I heard lots of oohs in just a few minutes when I presented. Good gifts don't get thrown in the corner. Do you hear that? Good gifts don't get thrown in the corner. They're embraced. They're kept close to our heart. They come to our forefront on many occasions. And the last thing is this: you got to share the gift. Some of us are one to four from acknowledging that the gift has been given down. All the way to opening it. The fifth thing is sharing our gifts. Some of us are holding the greatest gift in our lives. And we're thankful. We're on our way to heaven. We have that fire insurance that we need. We know where we're going. But we also have the greatest gift is to be able to share the love of God. Each person that has made a decision for Christ. Now, I realize we can't make it for other people as much as we'd want to and as much as we want to put our names on that, but we can share what God is doing and what God has done in our lives so that they can experience that same joy of the gift that we have been given. The Bible tells us that if we accept that gift, that we'll never be the same. Some say amen, and some, if they were honest, would have to say that it's scary. Because they don't like change. Because they know that they don't handle change anymore, change well anymore. And they also know that they're not in charge anymore. Amen. They're not in charge anymore. The day that you accepted Christ, you're not in charge anymore. God looked at a world 2,000 years ago and sent Jesus. Today, God looks at that same world and we're more confused than we were when He came the first time. And the gift of Jesus has still got to be given. Because He ends it by just telling us that is the way that He communicates His love for each and every one of us.